Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And now, here comes fans around the world. This is the moment you've all been waiting for. Out of Liverpool, England!
It was super necessary.
Hello, welcome to Super Necessary. We've got a big one here, as you can see. It's going to be carnage, I can tell you that now. But these boys love a bit of carnage.
Sorry, I've seen a dog there.
Fucking hell, lad, you've got the attention span of a goldfish. anyway, as you can see, we're joined by all of Team Ireland from Octagon Challenge, Dennis Frimpong, Adam MacDonald, Matthew Elliott, Armand Herzog, plus coaches Paddy Houlihan and Shemrock. Lads, it's going to be carnage, but thanks for joining us. It's fucking, yeah, we're buzzing.
Our pleasure, lad.
Pleasure. Yeah,
it's going to be absolute mayhem. I can feel it already.
It is. What I wanted to just ask first, watching the show back last night, it seemed like you all sort of knew each other from the off. Did anybody know each other before the show?
Well, me and Dennis fought before, so
yeah,
we knew each other pretty well.
if we all didn't know each other, we all definitely knew of each other. We all had some type of mutual friend or a teammate who's fought a teammate. So we were all pretty much clued up on everyone's style off the off go and who does what well.
Yeah.
We figured that might be the case, to be fair, didn't we?
Yeah, definitely. Just proper gelled as soon as you're in there. So as you mentioned, it started last night. First of all, what was it like watching it back, and how mad is it seeing yourself on TV? To make it so it's not crazy, we'll start with Dennis first.
So, yeah, I liked how they put it together. Obviously, it was a high level production. A lot of money went into it, clearly. Took long enough for it to come out, so I've been waiting for weeks. Obviously, there was some stuff that, like, between the lads on the team, we know happened.
Yeah.
That either didn't happen on camera or they edited it out. So it is what it is. But yeah, I thought it was good. I thought it was good. I'm dying to see the next episode already, because obviously the first episode was filmed over the first 4 days. We were still kind of warming in, getting to know everyone. It was a bit of like, there was a lot of intros and stuff like that. So I'm dying to see how the next few episodes go.
Yeah. Are you going against anything? Have you enlightened us about some of that not before seeing stuff?
Well, I don't know if they're going to release that stuff in reels or anything like that. I don't know what the plan is. I'm not going to say too much, but there was a few things that that were done, a few pranks that might have been done behind the scenes as well.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Yeah. I love for them to release life, but Let's see.
I think they're gonna do like a B-roll, outcuts and funny parts that didn't make the show.
Yeah. I think it'd be silly of them not to, like, you know.
Yeah. I don't know if it'll make an episode, but it'll probably be like some type of small advert or a reel for Insta or something. But I think they will.
Little bonus thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how could you not? The banter must have been crazy on the show, like. But yeah, we move on to Aaron.
Sweet.
He's forgot the question. Didn't he? Yeah,
All right, what was the question? Go ahead, champ.
I can only ask it once, mate. No, I'm missing.
So
what was it like watching it back, and how mad was it seeing yourself on telly?
It was on YouTube, so I wanted to be on Channel 4 on demand, but fuck it. I do what, leading up to it, like last week, it was like, fuck, I can't wait for it. And then the day before, I was actually a wee bit nervous, you know what I mean? Because I didn't know how I was going to come across. And I was happy enough because all the messages I got were, you know, supporting me and stuff. And obviously I was the first fight, like, so I obviously got a lot of messages. And I was happy enough with the way I came across and, you know, I tried to be myself, like, but... that was it. Obviously, everyone's seen the way Hassan was getting on, so no one looks like no one likes Hassan, so I was happy enough with that. So I think Team Ireland, like, you could see the bond with us, like, so I think that came across very well, you know what I mean? So it was good for us, like it was good for me just to see what it was like after a bit of adversity as well, and also. But it seemed like pretty rapid, like fast forwarded, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
It was weird, like, because it like, just seemed like you couldn't really get a good look at, you know, if you, like, there's only wee small bits you could watch, if you know what I mean? Because it just felt so rapid or something.
Yeah.
So, but I enjoyed it, man. Like, I really thoroughly enjoyed it. And the feedback that I've got through messages, people are loving it, like. So, yeah, man, I'm happy with it. I'm happy with the way I looked on it.
Yeah. Armin, do you remember the question, mate?
Yeah, no, I remember totally. I'm happy with it so far. It's as Aaron said, it's very sped up. So, like, trying to relive the whole moment, I'm just like, oh, he's left this out, he's left that out. But then again, like, can't go through everything, and it shows like how divided the English team were already from the get go. With Hassan, obviously, like, he kind of tried to do his own thing and try and be intimidating, but. I think trying to intimidate four lads at the same time is never going to work out. You know, we just stuck together as a team and backed each other as much as we could, you know?
Yeah. For Irish lads as well.
Yeah, it's not ideal.
Matt, who come to you?
Yeah, so I feel that the TV show came off very good. Very high production value, but I think just same as all the rest of the boys are saying, I feel like a lot was left out. Like, obviously some of it's going to get put in the reels, other parts won't, but I feel that they've maybe muffled it a bit because they're trying to keep, like, the target audience quite wide, where if they were to just let loose on it, I feel that it would need to be like 18 and over, and that's if your ma's in the room as well. And the best part of that night, they see where Dennis throwing like water and Hassan. The best part was about half an hour after Armin went out and banged him in the face with a water bottle when he was sleeping. And they left that out, and I was a bit upset about that. But no, I feel like the shows came off very well. I feel that all the Irish boys have presented themselves well on the show. As for the English ones, I'm not comment.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they should make like an extended version, release the extended version of all this unreleased stuff, because yeah, it's the sound fucking boss, to be honest with you.
To be fair, like, you have to understand, we were all there for whatever 3.5 weeks in total. Each episode was over 4 days, so like to get 4 days worth of
interviews,
training, the fight, the house, all of it into an hour, it's always going to get stuff left out, isn't it?
Yeah. So obviously we will come to the coaches with that one. Obviously you yourselves have been in the limelight before, but what did you make of the production of it, the first episode itself? Paddy, we come to you.
That was really good, to be honest. I've kind of been involved with a lot of kind of things that have been edited, and obviously, being in politics over here right now, how edits go, you know, take it to 4 seconds, changes everything. So I was actually a little bit nervous for the lads, and I was trying to say to them there, like, like how you come across here is massively important. You know, it's not just you, it's your family and who you represent and the sport and the flag and everything else. So I was a little bit more nervous for what was going on in the Villa, because obviously me and Shane weren't in the Villa. So seeing the stuff in the Villa, I was a little bit like, oh God, I just, because I'm not talking like a bleeding outfit, but I am an outfit to a good few. So I'm trying to say, like, don't do something that is going to ruin it for you. You don't want to be sitting there looking at yourself doing something, you know. And then, to be honest, looking at it last night, I was sitting here pissing myself laughing. It was really good. You should be very proud of yourself, lad. Just came across really well in the house. And I want to see the outtakes, because I've heard of a few of them, and I'm like, God, getting phone calls about some of them, for fuck's sake.
Shem, you mate, obviously you're in Octagon yourself. What did you make of the first episode,
lad? It's one of them, lad. I thought it was boss. You'd never know what it's going to be like till it comes out, because ultimately they've got the power in their hand of how they edit it.
Yeah.
There's still a load of episodes to go, so you don't know who could end up playing the heel, who could end up looking good on the show. Some of the parts they cut out that I wish they'd left in, like when they do the walkout, me and Paddy do a little fist bump every time. Even the interviews as well. Sometimes, like, they ask you a question and you'll come with a long answer and then they'll just cut out a little part. And sometimes it can seem a little bit out of context.
Yeah.
But it's reality TV, and it's what you'd expect.
Yeah.
I thought the editing was boss. Like Paddy said, all of the fighters come across good. I'm just looking forward to watching more of it, lad. When the episode finished, I was like half fuming. I wanted to watch more episodes back to back rather than have to wait another week.
Yeah. I'm like that. I'd rather binge watch
drop
it
all at once.
Yeah, I would. I'd rather just sit there and nail them all in one go.
Yeah.
Okay, Chin.
So as you mentioned, obviously last night's episode had the first fight taking place. Did that moment when that fight started for you and like representing Ireland, did that feel different to you than past experiences?
I was trying to sort of get into that team mentality, but at the end of the day, you're getting in there by yourself, so I sort of had to put it to the side when I got in there. But you know, obviously I wanted to be myself in there as well, but like obviously the TV cameras and all there, so I think I was trying to play up to the TV cameras and all, and I was thinking about them beforehand and stuff, so that came into play in my mind and stuff when I look back at it. But the funny thing was, like, and people were messaging me about it, being like, oh, man, so sorry to hear about the fight and all. But, like, I had to deal with that the day after in the house while, you know, Bo was walking right beside me, eating his breakfast beside me. So, you know, I had to deal with that there and then, you know what I mean? So, it was a mad experience in terms of that there. Like, but, yeah, just being able to represent Team Ireland in a fight and, like, in combat, you know what I mean, is a great thing. Like, it's like what you've got the IMAFs and stuff where you can do it, but you know, I never got to do that. So just doing that on TV, YouTube, and then with these lads as well, and under the coaches as well, Shamrock and Paddy, it was a privilege. You know what I mean? So it was a great experience and a great privilege to do it under them too and the boys. So yeah, it was just a great experience. Like,
yeah. You mentioned there about Breakfast with Bo, and that I've seen Dennis's reaction. Is there some more unseen stuff there? Did something happen there just with Dennis's reaction when you said about sitting with Bo and he's having his breakfast and that and dealing with it after it?
No, like, do you know what? Like, Bo's a good man. He's actually a legend, like, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
he wasn't, like, you know... don't know how to say it, but like he wasn't nasty or anything, like, you know what I mean? Like he was happy, he was proud of his punch, like to go and get the first fight and go and get the win. So I had to take it like a man, you know what I mean? I couldn't be sitting there beside him, you know, being a wee crybaby, like. So, you know, nah, there's nothing happened. It was actually sweet. We actually had a beer together after the fight in the house and all. So like it was weird, but at the end of the day, like, I signed up to do this, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it wasn't going to be I knew it was going to be like that if a win or lost, like, so I just had to be prepared to be the one that fell, and I was the one that fell. So and that, even that there, like, I created, like, it did something for me as a man as well. Like, I had to be resilient in there, like, you know what I mean, for a few days, like, you know, when, fuck's sake, you wanted to go and sit in your pillow and sit in your bed by yourself and be with your thoughts, but you had to walk about with your head high, and I tried to do that as best I could, whilst looking at Bo walking about with his pecs out, like, you know what I mean, so I was confident. but, you know, I got on with it, and, yeah, here we are now.
Yeah, I think there's some people, lad, that you just don't want to lose to. But I give Bowers due, he's humble in victory. He wasn't being a cunt about it in the house afterwards, where some people, lad, if you lose to them, they'd be fucking still poking your buttons afterwards. And I think one or two of them were on our teams, you know what I'm saying? I think being the first fight, it kind of set the precedent for them for the rest of the lads.
Yeah.
You're coming into the unknown. You don't really know what's going to happen. The cameras, the nerves. I think that's why that fight was like such a banger. They both fucking went at it. I think it was good for all the other lads who then fought after Aaron. Because it's like you've almost experienced it yourself because you were there cage side.
Yeah.
You know what to expect now. You know, like, I'll give you an example. You step in the ring and normally the ring announcer announces you both and the fight starts straight away. Because this is on TV, there was a big long pause and we're just waiting there, waiting for them to set the cameras up. And you're standing there for 5 minutes like, fuck. If you weren't ready for that the first time, that can almost like get to you. So for the lads who fought second, third and fourth, they were ready for that then already because they'd seen Aaron and Bo go through it.
Yeah.
And even small bits of that, sorry, just like Shemmy just reminded me of something like that. Something that actually hit me with that is like some of the guys will bounce on their toes basically in the corner, or some of them will squat down. And then when you put that into a 5 minute context and then you're going for it's a different thing. So, and like Bo was bouncing and Aaron was squatting before that. You mightn't see that. He's doing it for nearly bleeding 5 minutes or something like that. And that was something like, get up and move your legs around, you know. So he played the berserker role, he did, Aaron. So he was out first. Mad Norseman.
Yeah, that's crazy. Because you don't see that side of it, do you? Because I was cut and edited and that. So it is interesting. Like, what we did want to ask on this one, maybe more for the coaches, if Team Ireland had won that first challenge, would you have made the same fight or would you be picking a different fight?
We would have picked differently.
What would you have picked if you can say that?
Me and Paddy would have obviously come together and come to a agreed decision. But personally, me, I would have got one of our bigger lads to fight first, which would have been Aaron or Dennis, just so they don't have to stay close to low weight for the whole time. But I don't think we would have picked Aaron versus Bo. Maybe we would have picked someone else. But it would have been for me between Aaron and Dennis. I don't know what Paddy would think.
Yeah. I think Aaron versus Bo would have been a good one looking back at the fight as well. Now, I can't remember what at the time we were thinking, but sometimes at the time, the energy, the emotions, the mood that people are in, just being around people, seeing how kind of ready and switched on they are, you know. So some people want to go first, some people want to go last. I can't even remember what I was thinking at that time, but I don't think I would have done Aaron and Bo straight away, to be honest.
Yeah. I think Bo wanted to go first. I think they would have asked their athlete who wants to go first. Because if you think about it logically, whoever goes first, if you take a little bit of damage in your fight, you've got the most time to recover. If you've got to cut weight twice close to each other as well, it can be a little bit hard. So I think going first has its advantages as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I get you.
Do you think him having the 3 years out of the cage as well would have played in him wanting to go first a bit as well?
Do you know what? I didn't even know he was 3 years out the cage until I watched the show.
Yeah.
When I heard that, I was like, fuck, I didn't even know. You couldn't have tell watching him fight. He looked sharp. Maybe it went for him. Maybe it had that hunger in him because he hadn't fought for so long.
Yeah.
So obviously this is the first Octagon challenge over here. Obviously Octagon have done it before over in Czech Republic and things like that. But, you know, yous are all part of Octagon history. Now there's not been anything done like this in the UK and Ireland before. What's it like for yous to be a part of history? And again, we'll just sort of go one by one. If Dennis, do you want to start?
Yeah, I'll start. Yeah, obviously, it's great being part of the first Irish team on it. I don't know whether they're going to do another one, like Scotland, Wales, or like, I don't know what way they're going to do it, or whether they're going to move to France next or whatnot. But obviously, same as what Aaron said, like I never got a chance to do the IMAFs just due to some political issues back home. But yeah, it was good to be able to drape the flag around myself, be able to don the Irish colours going out to fight, especially against English lads, you know what I mean? Like it, yeah, it was something, there was something about the team and just like the way we all got together, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just brought something out in us. And yeah, it was obviously the way it will, you'll see when the show goes on. There's a lot of good moments, a lot of good fights. And yeah, I think Octagon will see the value that the UK and Irish scene can bring to their promotion as well. Obviously, having done it in continental Europe, I don't know what the level's like over there. I don't think it's as high as it is over here. So I think we just have to go out there and prove that now that we're in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what about yourself, Adam? You kind of touched on it a little bit before, but what's it like, you know, being part of Octagon history for you?
Yeah, well, hopefully that, you know, actually they keep on doing the Ireland versus England, Team Ireland versus Team England thing, because we'll be the first ones to ever do it and, like, you know, paving the sort of way for it. So, and the levels in the UK and Ireland are massive, like, so I don't see why they shouldn't. And yeah, just even being the, even having kind of the fly chip around the shoulders was a great achievement just in that itself, and being able to wear the colours, the tracksuits, the everything, you know what I mean? We were walking about in the tracksuits every day, the kits and all. So, yeah, it was a privilege, and, you know, we should all be proud of ourselves that we were the first ones to do it. And, you know, it could, we'll see what happens over the next month or two and how the show takes off and stuff. But, yeah, if it does, like, if we're the first ones and they're going to do multiple series between Ireland and England, yeah, we were the first ones, so yeah, we should be proud of ourselves.
Yeah, definitely. What about yourself, Armand?
I enjoyed it. You know, like I went to the IMAS before and I had to represent Hungary there because I couldn't get on the Irish team due to not having an Irish passport or whatever. But like getting to represent Ireland as well, it was a big honour for me. Like it's always something I wanted to do. I've represented Ireland winning a European title in amateur, but the fact that it was a professional level and everything, I think it just added to it. So getting to actually throw the tricolour over my shoulders and walk out with it and represent the country and represent the team and the coaches and everyone around me, it was a good opportunity and I was delighted with it, you know. Just showing that, like, even growing up in Ireland and not being from here, but still, like, understanding the culture and living the way, like, of an Irish person, I think it was just very good for me to actually get to represent them and show how much it means to me as well, you know. So I'm delighted with it. It was a great opportunity and it's good to be one of the first of it. So hopefully to do more, and it shows how good we are as well, you know. So they couldn't have picked four better lads for it.
Yeah, I agree with that, definitely. What about yourself, Matt?
It was definitely cool to be part of the first England versus Ireland. To be honest, whenever I was contacted about it, it's the first time I'd ever heard of Octagon. They're big over in Eastern Europe. They're actually massive over in Eastern Europe, and they're now making their way in the UK and Ireland. So it's good to be there on the first show, because as Octagon grows and as they become a bigger promotion, that's always going to be there. So that's always going to be a thing that people look back to, and that'll sit by you for a while. But yeah, it was good. It was good to go represent the country. First time representing Ireland. I'm normally, I'm normally on the Hun side of things with it. But, it was great.
I'm waiting for that.
I know. No, my home vlog and all is Union Jack pose in it, and I'm sitting there going, right, okay, man, right, team.
You've seen that in the video.
Yeah, that's my you can blame for that. But no, it's... no, it was a great opportunity.
Yeah, and same to, you know, the coaches Paddy and Shem. What was it like for you to be sort of making history with Octagon again? Paddy, if we come to you first.
Yeah, no, it was great to get that opportunity, and it was actually great to be around Pavel and Andre as well, and two lads that are kind of visionaries. Not a lot of people put their ideas into action. Everyone has ideas, but it's great to see people actually making it happen and to kind of be around and watch them as well. And I just like watching people, especially people who are dreamers and successful. So yeah, it was great to be that, and obviously to get in behind that flag anytime, and to be involved with a team that is a diverse team. You know, martial arts is diverse, and people go on about diversity and all of this stuff, but sometimes it's a social construct of what actual diversity is. You go onto a jiu-jitsu mat anywhere, you'll find real, true diversity. So it was great to see that, you know, and it's great to see people who are proud to represent the flag, and it's great to see Matthew represent the flag as well, you know what I mean? And realise that this whole island is an island of mad Irelanders. That's what I always say. They're all going to look at that flag, whether we like it. There's green, there's white, and there's orange, and there's other colours too as well.
Yeah. And Shem, lastly for you, obviously a bit different to everyone else, you know, the one Scouser, but Irish at heart, I imagine. But what was it like for you?
Lad, it was a boss opportunity for me. And then obviously I'm a Scouser. I'm not Irish. I don't hold the passport, but Scousers and Irish were the same. Even the two other Scouse lads on the English team, Bo and Jake, you would see really he wanted to be over here with us, you know what I mean? It's boss that, you know, I've been accepted by the community as well. No one's fucking slagging me for wearing the Irish fucking jersey. But I said this from the off go, there was not a chance I was putting the St. George's cross on my chest. It weren't happening. I was the only coach, funnily enough, that never had my name on the back of my t-shirt. I think maybe they were a bit like, should we bring him? But like what Paddy said, even just getting to be around Andre and Pavel and see how they think, the ideologies, also the ideologies of Paddy himself, the mental warfare side in the dressing room. Like, I was in camp at that same time that I'm filming. So then I feel like it just really lit a real fire inside of me to go home and then get ready for my fight as well.
Yeah.
What a fuck that was.
Yeah, nice one.
I've got to ask just quickly before we move on to anything else. There's a moment where Brian Lacey shows both passports, and I think if I'm right, he launches the Ireland one, doesn't he?
He threw them both.
But did I he throw them both?
Throw the English one only.
Okay. I thought he went like that with one. I was like, okay. Just going to check whether he got wrapped up or anything. But yeah.
All I'm saying is St. Patrick drove the snakes out of Ireland once.
Snake breath.
The next one, and obviously you have mentioned pranks there, you know there's going to be a lot of them over the show, but who does the worst prank on the show, whether we see it or not?
Matthew.
Matty,
Matt Elliott. Matthew Elliott.
Does it make the cuts?
I remember it now. Yeah.
Listen, there was some.
Even a prank. What he done? It's not even a prank. It's a bubble prank.
It's better because they don't know and they'll never know. That's one of them.
I don't think it'll make the show. That's how bad it was.
It wouldn't have made the show. But it's like whenever we first initially got there, it's like you don't have your phone. There's no TV. There's essentially like you have each other to talk to. And you just kind of iron through everything within the first half hour of seeing each other. And you just start getting, like, inquisitive. But, yeah, like, that first night, like, the cameraman's in the room. And me, Dennis, and Armand are up in the room. And we have a rifle and all. And it was, stuff got mad. Like.
Captain Fever kicked in, definitely, mate. It got, we were planning one big prank. And we ended up not going through with it because they were like, this could get us not even just fucking
you can talk canceled, about it,
like, but possibly arrested. Like.
Jail time.
Yeah.
In that moment, did Paddy's voice come back to us and say, fucking be careful what you're doing, basically?
He's could probably hear Paddy in the head telling them to do it. These are making their own manageable.
You know what it actually was? It was whenever we like brushed it by the Octagon staff, and they were like encouraging it, and whenever they were kind of encouraging it, we were like, "Fuck right, maybe not."
I hope whatever it is, it makes the cut so we can see it. But by the sounds of it, it probably won't.
No,
we didn't end up going through with it. We thought we were going to do it and everything, and then we kind of sat down and thought over it a lot, and we were like, "This will not look good on telly at all." So we kind of left it out.
Right. Should we just tell?
Yeah, I think you should. Yeah,
we were gonna do like a fake home invasion because we found like a rifle and like a crowbar and an axe in the house. So we were gonna tie the English team up and have Dennis and Armin shouting and like Hungarian and Slovenian, and pretend to like kidnap him. But we were, thank God we didn't. Turns out Galazzi's ex fucking French special forces or something as well. He'd go PTSD and start fucking.
Yeah, he would have went all PTSD and started popping people.
There must have been some planning in that, like learning to speak the language as well to sell it.
Already speak the language.
Armand already speaks Hungarian and I already speak Slovene, and it's quite similar to Slovakian. Like, you probably wouldn't be able to tell the difference if you're an English lad. So,
oh, I know. Shit, that would have been funny to see that.
Yeah, that would have been ridiculous. But I get why you didn't do it in fairness. Yeah. So, yeah, probably for the best.
You know what the worst part is, though? We wouldn't find out about the pranks till the next day because we weren't there in the house.
Yeah.
They'll come back like, guess what we done? And I'd be like, oh, fucking hell, what have you done now? And I feel even worse for the English lads because they don't even know until they watch the show back. They'll go, you cheeky bastards. Because some of the pranks only they knew and they just never let anyone know until when they watch it back, obviously.
The pictures that were, I think was put up today with like the cock in the hand towards Jake's mouth, is that in it? No,
they took that out. That was like the first day.
They got fined for that, you know, lad.
Fucking hell.
Played them signs and ladders there. Like, they were asking for that in fairness. Like, Odie was like, I understand.
The worst part is they got fined for it. And then Aaron come out the changing room and he was like, what? I was asleep. I didn't even know what happened.
There's going to be so much missed in this. You need to make a like fucking spin off or something. They got to treat us with all of this as well.
Yeah.
Sort of going off that, then who out of the team who got crowned the biggest and best shit talker?
Dennis.
No hesitation.
Yeah. It's like most people will like they'll like go for the person and attack it, but Dennis is like, he'll take a stab at you, and if that doesn't work, he's taking a stab at your mom, and if that doesn't work, it's your mom.
Yeah.
No one's safe.
Yeah.
Nobody's safe around Dennis. Everyone's getting it. It's like if you tell him one little bit of information and he can create ammo out of it, you're fucked. You're literally fucked.
This is what I think was the worst part. Because they're all in the house together, they're like asking each other questions about each other's personal lives, and they're just like giving him the ammo that he's using against them. And I was just thinking like, nah, I wouldn't be telling this cunt not.
Dennis is sitting in the corner just listening, just got a little notepad.
Dennis was getting it out of them. Dennis was asking them just knowing rightly they were falling into his trap.
Interrogations, yeah.
Oh, he'd be like slagging someone and then like 10 minutes later he'd be like best mates with them, they'd give him the information, then he'd turn around and start slagging them again, and they're just like, how are you giving them this information?
Art of war, innit?
Yeah, that's it.
100%.
So this next one is for Shem. We want a bit of context. When you were doing it, there was a video where for some reason you were in a boot. What was that about?
The show was over, everything's done, we're done with all the filming, and I was blagging the lads to go out, like out. Like I don't drink, I don't party, but it was probably the last time we'd all be together in a long time. So I'm like, let's all go out. But there wasn't enough space in the car, so because it was my stupid idea to go out, I was in the booth.
That was funny, fucking the boot full and everything, and me across the three lads and all. And just, oh,
eight man in a Skoda Octavia, you know. Like,
yeah, it was mad.
Just made it work though.
I wasn't there for the record. Yeah.
I don't think there was a driving license between us as well.
I mean, a newspaper in A Man of the Show that Paddy wanted him in Slovakia, be honest.
Could anyone actually drive the cars?
Anyone
who drives it, but not anyone
insured
to.
Arnold was in it a couple times.
That's right.
I was still in the boat and all, yeah.
And the first day that we got the keys in the hotel, basically.
Oh, you know, that's crazy, though.
So we had to do the wrong side of the road on the wrong side of the car. And me and Shem hadn't got a fucking clue.
Yeah.
We had to drive ourselves to Chamberlain, mile away.
Shitting yourselves.
Confident with this now. Shem's like, I can't fucking drive, so he's like, I'm out.
I'll sit in the boot and likely to not get it there.
Which lane was the fast lane on the motorway, you know?
So it was carnage,
wasn't it? It was like, it was fucking mental.
I'm sure there was even a video from Shem where like he was recording. I don't know if it was like the fucking Slovakians driving or something. I was like, this is crazy. It's like
reversing up the motorway. Yeah. She was. Yeah. There was the fucking lorry behind us, lad. He stopped on the motorway because he would have killed us.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, should have gone in the boot, Sham.
Fuck that, lad. I thought we were going to die, bro.
Yeah. Hey, Slovakians drive like absolute maniacs as well, mate. They 140. Yeah, do 200, mate. No bother, like.
Just as crazy as Americans, then. Okay, now.
Probably worse.
Worse by the sound, yeah. Okay, now. So, for the fighters, I guess, because the coaches weren't in the villa, what was it like living with the enemy?
Frenemies.
What?
Frenemies.
Enemies. Can I even build this up? What's going on? Enemies.
We didn't actually see much of them, to be honest. In the villa,
in their rooms.
Yeah, like Jake and George just sat in the room. Bo, for the most part, was sitting in the room. Hassan would come out of the room, get a slagging, and then go back into the room. come out again when he's forgot. Go back in. It was just, yeah. We didn't actually get there. Like, there wasn't as much, like, back and forth in the villa as you would have thought, because, like, you are dealing with,
versions.
Like George and Jake, anyways, yeah, like you're dealing with two autistic kids, don't want to leave the bedroom.
Oh, so I don't even know what to say to that.
Hey, we had the crack between the Irish lads. We had the crack. It was like a bit of like a holiday in a way, like a lads' holiday with a load of lads that you never met before, obviously, than me and Aaron. But like, yeah, it was good. We enjoyed it. Because they were too scared, I suppose, to retaliate to a lot of the pranks. Because I think they were thinking, if they retaliate, then we're going to take it a step further. And they're like, if we just take it, yeah. Like, maybe they won't go anywhere. Do you know what I mean?
They were scared to find out what Dennis had on them. Didn't do anything.
Oh, stuff.
Honestly, though, I think I would have taken the slagging off Dennis more than, like, the devious plots and tricks that Matt was doing to them.
Yeah, like, he's making it out as if it's all me, but like, see, like, even the whole thing with a spray bottle, that started with Dennis's idea. That was like,
well, say no more about the spray bottle, mate.
So he's been mentioned a few times here and needed to get the opinion on him. Helezi, obviously, Dennis had a bit of words with him. There was obviously the fucking chicken incident, which was just fucking mad. But, like, what the fuck? As you're watching it, just, yeah, oh, it was mad. But, like, was he like that all the time, even, like, off camera and that as well?
Mate, I'll be honest, there was a moment after the first challenge, yeah, so we've been chatting shit and all that. The cameras have come around, they've been filming us chatting shit to him. Brian Lacey called it a 10A. I called it a TKO personally. But the cameras have left and they're like, hey, we have to continue on with the challenge. Like, we can't just film you talking shit for the next 2 hours. They've left and he comes over and he's like, yeah, no, the cameras are gone now, lad. We can stop now.
And I goes, nah, lad.
I'm not doing it for the cameras. Like, I'm doing it to fuck with you. I think after that, that was like the first day we were there. After that, he was a bit more switched on to the fact that we weren't just doing it for the cameras, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, it was mad though. Like, I literally, Aaron obviously was weighing in and all. So I was like, right, I'll cook for us and help with your refuel and all and make a good meal and all. So I went and like marinated this chicken and I woke up early in the morning because I was the last to wake up always. The boys were always waiting on me. I like my sleep. So I'd sleep until like 5 minutes before we leave and then just get ready to go. So I woke up, started marinating this chicken, had paprika all over everything, left it in the fridge. And I said it to the English boys, like, boys, I have chicken in there. Don't touch it, please. Just be respectful. You know, don't touch my food. They're all like, yes, sir, whatever. So I got back. For some reason, we had a very late day. So like it was even longer that we got home. And I get back to the gas station about 7:30. I start cooking the food. The food's finished. Like, it took maybe like an hour because I cooked it at like a good temperature and everything. Like, I was making sure this is going to be top of the range chicken, you know. So I go in, open up the, and I made like spuds with it as well. So I open up and I looked at the spuds and I see there's a piece missing. I'm like, ah, oh, this little rat's after eating my spuds. Like, so then I was like, oh, what the fuck? Like, I didn't really mind that much because it's only spuds, like, and there's loads of them. But then when I opened up the chicken and there's like 6 pieces and there's only like 5 left, and I just started going mad. And I was just like, what's the point of like me even trying to do something with this little rat here? So then, like, obviously Dennis like poured water on him and I got the idea. I was like, you know what? I go over and I just bounce the bottle off his head. I just threw the bottle at him. I was like, smashing him's not enough for that. Like, I had to get him back.
Yeah, I mean, don't touch someone else's food. And I mean, I think that's an unwritten rule. You don't touch another man's food.
Yeah, like, if you would have asked, I would have said no when you can't have any chicken, but at least ask, you know what I mean? Like...
Okay. Yeah, it's the gesture of it, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
So this one's for Paddy. Obviously, you've been around for obviously some time. You're a legend in the sport. How good was it for you seeing these lads get this opportunity? You know, obviously it's a new thing. It's something that you never heard of, you know, a few years ago even. Like, how good was it for you to see these lads get this opportunity?
Yeah, it's deadly. It's a serious idea for a promotion to be doing in Europe. Obviously, when the sport started, it started in more in England and spread to Ireland a little bit. But now to see that there's opportunities all over the world for lads to mature, get experience against people, and it was great to be there. Well, pick his brain and his kind of style. And I'm a student all day, every day, and I always will. You know, you have to, if you don't approach things with that mentality, you know, then obviously you have to have like a line of to get things done and standardize some things. So the main thing was just to make battery when they're in the lab. So Dennis the Menace there knows the art of war, and those who are animated through all of the ranks will win, and that's how it works, you know. So in that way, so everybody, even if someone doesn't get the win, say they don't go off sunken and crying and all, they fucking suck it up and get back there and keep it as a team mentality. So for the whole time, everybody did that, you know. Maybe there was a little few rocky times and moments, but at the end, everyone gets to look at the finished product now and see what it is, you know. And I know the lads are going to learn so much from this, the editing and how this all works. And when you're coming up to your fights, and you got to put the time into the media as well, because you don't want to go in and out with the toys, you know. You don't want to be wishing to put the work in outside as well and get in with the fans and do your thing, you know. So it was great to be able to have a bit of time, be able to just kind of spread some old man shit, you know what I mean?
Now, what you said there about it starting in England, obviously a bit in Ireland, the first little talk that you had come back to me where you said we didn't invade, we infested, was it?
So we didn't invade, well, the Irish infested the world. So, and yeah. The idea to say to the lads was that, like, we're in a place and groups of Irish men and groups have got together of all different makeups and did this a long time. To me, fighting is not sport as much as it is football is and stuff like that. Fighting is different. So the NFL fighters are players and top football premier players. They go and watch fighting because that's the real essence of when you score a goal and you say, like, like fuck you to somebody, you know, but fighting is that times a million. So fighting's different. So I'm trying to bring that kind of atmosphere to it, because that's what I always brought to it, and around the team that I was around, that was always what it was, kind of that you know, come home with your shield or on it kind of situation. Good for fighting. Not tennis, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
So to sort of go on from that for the fighters, what was the biggest thing you were able to take from Paddy during the show? So again, just go start with you again, Dennis.
So obviously a lot of things, mate, to be honest, like between a few little technical details that I've incorporated into my game, even in just that short space that we had, because he's a veteran in the sport, he's been around the sport a long time, he's been to the highest peaks in the sport. So technical details, just the mindset of going into a fight, your mood, how it can affect, just little bits, like little just veteran bits. And then even besides all that, just to pick his brain, obviously he's a politician at the moment, and he's one of the real politicians, you know what I mean? He's not like one of these fucking bred to be a politician people. He's from like where we're all from, and he's trying to do work to change it. So yeah, being able to pick his brain on those sides of things as well, and the business side of the sport as well, not just like, you know, oh, you get your 10 grand for a fight here and then you just go and splash on parties and Gucci jackets and this and that, you know what I mean? And knowing to invest your money, because it's not a long game, you know, like you're in for maybe 10-15 years if you're lucky, and you want to get out of there before you can't speak to your kids. So yeah, just a lot from all aspects of the sport and even just life as a whole. So it was really great to have him there.
Yeah. What about yourself, Aaron?
The biggest thing for me was the mentality. I remember that before my fight, and what he was saying to me, it's not about winning and losing, it's about fighting. And that really struck with me. Just even after, when I came home from the show, I kept on just remember hearing him saying that. And then I've started to bring that into, like, you know, my training as well, and sparring, and what I think about fighting as well, because I've come from like football and it's always about winning or whatever, losing. And when he said that to me, I was just like, yeah, it started to be like, right, okay, it's not about that. It's about the fighting. And what he was saying there about, like, you know, sports and football, the Premier League and all that stuff. Like, I just realized that, yeah, it is. It isn't just about the winning, it's about the fighting. So you just got to go in there and fight. And then that's basically it. Like, if I'm constantly thinking about the win or the loss, it's that's going to affect the mindset, in fact, the mentality. So that was a big thing that struck me, and I took that from Paddy. Obviously, the wee details of the training and stuff like that there, but like that was the biggest thing. And I remember just, and I've been hearing it in my head ever since I came home. So it was always like, yeah, like that will always stay with me throughout my career. And I was blessed to have that, because he would say it even just after before the other fighters as well. And it was just there, and I was like, right, that's stuck in my head now. And that was a big thing that I took from it. So the mentality and the mindset was massive from where I got, or where I got from Paddy there.
Yeah. What about yourself, Armand?
Just getting to work with Paddy. Like, I obviously know about Paddy throughout the game for years and everything. I met Paddy before whenever I fought for an Irish title, and he put the belt around me, and just like this whole thing went full circle, and we got to work together, and he's able to obviously coach me in the show, and the whole thing is just like, it just went full circle, and it was a bit surreal at the moment of being there. But he taught me a lot, like Aaron said, about mentality and everything. Like, even in the gym sessions, whenever I felt a bit more tired or anything, he'd always be saying, keep telling yourself to be fresh, that you're fresh. And everything that he said was always positive. And just even before the fight and all, the way he like makes you mentally prepared before you walk and everything, it just added to my game. And it's stuff that I still use even in my last fight and everything, even though it didn't go my way. It's just little things that he showed us that you can take out of it and add it to your home game and everything. So it was an honor to learn from him, you know, especially with someone who fought at the pinnacle of the sport and everything. So it's good to have that in our back pocket, you know.
Yeah. And what about yourself, Matt?
Much of the same as all the other boys. I feel that it's definitely most in like the mental department, even in things like reading body language at weigh-ins or whenever your opponent's in the cage. how your opponents are coming out of the cage and how they look, how they're acting, even picking up on traits such as that there that you wouldn't normally pay much attention to. You just kind of look at the guy and go like, yeah, he's shitting himself. Then Paddy's turning around there and going like, look where he's got his hands, look how he's looking. Just things like that. So it was, but I feel like him and Shem both definitely contributed a lot towards it, like towards the thing.
Yeah. And I'll ask you that as well, Shem, because obviously you mentioned you were in camp at the time while the film was going on as well. Were you able to take things in from Paddy and learn bits from him as well?
So I feel like a little bit like what Paddy said before, about being forever being a martial artist. I believe that I am a martial artist first and a fighter second. I almost wanted to take a backseat in every training session and let him run it all, yeah. So I could soak in as much as I possibly could myself. But obviously, I was a coach as well, and I had to give a lot to the lads as much as he did. I felt for me, it was more about concepts rather than trying to teach them new skills. Everyone's going to have their own style. Everyone's all got their own coaches back home. And a side that people don't always or also know about on the show is every single week is fight week, because you don't know who's fighting next.
Yeah.
You only find out 2 days before the fight. So in your mind, you're fighting. That's how you have to think. So it was about keeping training also a little bit playful, keeping everyone ticking over, not to go too hard to get hit, but also not to do not enough where you're not peaking. So it was a hard thing to find the balance, but I think we had the perfect coach with Paddy. Like, even if the lads weren't ready, not to say anyone wasn't ready because they were all ready, just the mental fortitude side coming from Paddy was a big thing. I think like if I was on the show, definitely I'd love to have a guy like Paddy in my corner. If it was me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last one then, and we'll let you all get off and
quick day, sorry. Bed. That was like something being reading out on my funeral. I'm not good at that stuff, Roy. So that was kind of hard for me to sit here listening out. You know, I'm reading good messages, Roy, but I appreciate all of that. But Shem, I couldn't have did it without you, bro. It was days where it was just fucking exhausted at times. You took a session, and then the ideas of some of the stuff that I brought off you, I still learned. They actually made. And when I was questioning you on the basically defending the back, where you're shuffling your leg, going to your knees, and making sure the hook doesn't go in, and actually giving the back a little bit now. Mate, I learned so much from you over there as well. So I couldn't have did it without you. I much appreciate it. I know the boys got so much from it with you as well, mate. So.
Yes, lad.
Quality. Last one then. We'll let you go. Yeah. Obviously appreciate your time, and it is getting late. So last one is for Shem. Obviously, this whole thing comes to a head on the Manchester card. I'm assuming, however, the TV series goes, these are all be here as well. Obviously, you're fighting the busy who can't keep your name out of his mouth. Everyone knows your story. What do you expect the energy to be like on the night? I mean, what is it, 18,000 people you've got? You're going to have all these around you. Like, what are you expecting for the night?
It's, even just thinking about it now is getting me riled up, lad. Like, it's mad because most of my career I'm fighting away from home, and I'm kind of like never really the home favourite, never really the crowds on my side. Now this is going to be the polar opposite for me. I'm going to have 18,000 people wanting to watch me kiss a police officer's head. The only thing I'm going to find hard is if he takes a knee or if he's a grounded opponent, I'll be looking to soccer kick him and everything. So I think I'm going to have to stay composed in there. But it's also not just my night. All of the lads who are on the show, hopefully every single one of them is going to get matched up and be on the card as well. And then also the lads who are going to be in the final. Obviously, I can't say who that is, but it'll be obviously someone who you're watching on the screen every episode. Lad, it's just going to be, like, for me, the pinnacle of my career so far. And I feel like every fight for me, I'm just getting blessed with better and better and better opportunities. But for me, this is like, and it sounds cliche because I said it on the last fight, but this is like a big bucket tick, fucking a big goal that I've wanted to achieve in my career. I'm fighting at home, 18,000 people. the only thing I could have wished for more was to be the main event, but I guess that's not what they want to give me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, after you get him out there, you need to put handcuffs on him and have a citizen's arrest. You know what I mean?
Needs to be done. He's getting Dagestani handcuffed, pinned to the floor. I'll be holding him down with my left hand, punching him with my right hand, and telling him he has the right to remain silent. He's under citizen arrest.
Hey, you've got to do the Radek Rushaw walkout, bro, with the jailhouse clothes and the handcuffs.
Nah, it's too corny for me, lad. That's not my style. Yeah. The only man who ever pulled that off correctly was Lee Money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Real life meme machine. That's what this is like.
Yeah.
Hey, who let Central C start fighting MMA though? That's what I want to know.
What? Yeah. Yo, you know about me?
At the after now. I do want to finish with, I think it's past the fact that whoever's in the finale, you know, obviously Octagon's about to tell the fighters' story, so the fact that they've put them, whoever it is, at the top of the card, just, I think it does massive things for the sport, even more so, you know, so I just wanted to add that in. Anything you want to add, Quinn?
No, just can't wait to see the rest of the show. It's you know, the first episode was amazing, you know, getting to see you guys just be yourselves and just what you're like, and seeing a side of fighting that you don't normally get to see as well. It's slightly different, obviously, being in the house and all that, but yeah, you know, just can't wait for the rest of it. As Paddy said, I think everyone on it come across fantastically, and yeah, looking forward to the rest of it. Looking forward to seeing you smash some heads in.
Yeah.
Hey, you lads.
Appreciate your time, lads.
Appreciate your time, fellas. Yeah,
great to see you and chat to you again.
Take it easy.
See you later.
It was super necessary.
Go now.